This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in and ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
You know, Ravens fans have been spoiled to winning seasons for most of the existence of the Ravens. So it's like when you come out of the gates 0-2 and your defense not doing well, it's kind of like, all right, well, who do we need to fire? And they were looking at Zio. Like, everybody's just on Zio from the start. And he's played the game. He was all pro, so he knows what it's like to have these ups and downs. And, you know, fans are going to be fans. But at the same time, nobody in the building really wavered. I think he kind of took that in stride, and we were better for it. I actually interviewed with the Falcons when Dean was there. Coming into the draft. So I'd met him then. And then he came in and was helping with the DBs a good bit.
Yeah.
I think they were kind of just like, all right, they're struggling the most. Like, let's just put you in their room and help them figure it out. But I think he did a good job of just coming in and just simplifying everything. Like, he even showed us some, like, old film of Ed Reed running a play that we would install and we'd run it the next week and it would work. And I think having good football minds like that around the building just helped in general.
Kyle Hamilton, Ravens All-Pro Safety, on the Chris Long, the Green Light with Chris Long podcast. And again, if you don't have a podcast, I mean, you're losing out.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have to start one, too, on top of what we're already doing over here. I don't like talking all the time, though. I mean, sooner or later, I gotta shut up. I mean, Jesus, why I prefer text over phone calls. Like, you know, I talk for 20 hours a week. Last thing I want to do is be in a half-hour phone call. This text, you know, we can get this done. But Kyle Hamilton there, we digress, of course, talking about Dean Pease, the impact he had on the defense. And you heard, and you know what, I didn't really know that he had met him when he was in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
when he did the interview process prior to the 2022 draft. So he had some familiarity with him. And then Dean Pease breaking out the old A. Remember this guy, number 20, first ballot Hall of Famer, Defensive Player of the Year, safety, one of the more impactful safeties in the history of the league. Well, we install this package, and then maybe we can get those same sorts of results. Not saying Kyle Hamilton's the same player that Ed Reed is, but point taken. It's like, hey. Now, I got some things up my sleeve. So Dean Pease is going to be more limited this year in his input, if he impacts it at all, because Chuck Pagano is coming in to basically be that guy.
Yep.
But the Dean Pease impact was felt in a big way. And we saw post-bye, the Ravens' defense was one of the best in the National Football League, after being, especially pass defense, one of the worst all season long.
Bob, the word that you know, I took from all that was he came in and simplified things. That's what he did, you know. And they were doing too much. And how do we know they were doing too much? Communication sucked. You know, I mean, there were so many issues in the back end with the communication. So, I mean, the thing that kind of gets me a little bit, Bob, is that you got a rookie coordinator and you got a lot of new coaches that are basically rookie coaches. And you're putting in so much stuff. I think Harbs was involved. My guess.
Harbs was a little involved. You mean?
No, in the defense early on, oh, my okay. guess is because they're trying to do too much instead of, you know, coming out of the gate, let's be simple. It almost kind of looked like Mike McDonald was very smart, very sophisticated, and I think they kind of understood that defense. And were they doing a lot of stuff? They were doing a lot of stuff, but they all kind of knew. And then when Zach came in, I don't know that they had anybody that understood why they're doing it. Why we're doing this. Why are we doing that? Well, it's in the playbook. No. And, you know, and then when Dean Pease comes in, why we're doing it? Here's why. You know, this is why we're doing it. This is because we added this, and this is the reason we're doing it, and this is the reason fundamentally why you're going to do this. And, you know, when Harbs talked about Pagano was, he was there when they started the defense, so he understands it. And I think that's the thing that John learned, having Dean Pease there, was having somebody that knew the defense and understood every little detail of the defense, how important that was.
And you mentioned Mike McDonald, now head coach at Seattle. He had growing pains, too.
Oh, yes, he did.
Coming back from Michigan, and it eventually, by the end of 2023, they were arguably the best defense in the National Football League. And it looked, they in the AFC Championship game against Kansas City, a loss, and they gave a couple quick touchdowns, but you know, they didn't score in the second half. That was a very winnable game. But Mike McDonald parlayed that success into becoming now a head coach in the league and a guy that's highly regarded in that capacity right now.
See, but the thing is, like, Mike McDonald had been there a long time, Bob. You know, so he understood the intricacies of the defense. Then Harb shipped him out to go get a year's experience at Michigan. So he had, you know, calling plays for 14 games or whatever it was at the University of Michigan. You say it's not the pros, but, you know, they got a lot of pros on their team. So, and with Zach Orr, I mean, Zach's a former player, then he was a linebacker coach. So does he know? He knows linebackers up and down, you know, and as a player, you know, you're not studying what, you don't know exactly.
He was with Mike McDonald when he was with the Ravens as a player, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so I think it's smart by Harbs, and Harbs, you know, kind of realized what he needed to do with that defense, and you got to give them a ton of credit because they did it. It worked, and it improved. And Harb said, all right, Dean Pease probably says, my guess is Dean doesn't want to do it as much, but, hey, for what I've done, bring my son in as a assistant linebacker coach, which they did, and I'm guessing that's what happened. And then he got Chuck Pagano to come in, who, another veteran guy. So I think having that veteran presence is only going to make Zach Orr a better coach.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Other Side of the Glass. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band, send a request, pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Also heard Kyle Hamilton talking about Zach Orr and how he handled the criticism early in the season because they did start 0-2. A couple of defensive breakdowns that led to the 0-2 start. Their pass defense was one of the worst in the NFL, still finished, even with a strong finish to the year, 31st in the league. But Kyle Hamilton, as you would expect, had his back. Marlon Humphrey, during the season, had his back. Said, the schemes are fine. The players are screwing things up. And come to find out, they tweaked a position here, tweaked a position there. And then the results started to speak for themselves.
Yes. Yep. It was, and, you know, the biggest mystery still is what happened to Marcus Williams. You know, I mean, you don't know because he was one of the big causes of all that stuff. And then the thing that Dean Pease did too, Bob, was he put Kyle Hamilton back, you know, and took him from being the versatile joker, you know, and put him back, and the communication helped. I just think that it was, because there were so many communication issues, I think it was too much for Roquan to be able with Mike McDonald, you know, having the green dot. He had Patrick Queen next to him, another Pro Bowler. He didn't have to worry about that, you know. I mean, he could tell the back end because they were all veteran guys. He could tell the front guys, veteran guys, and he didn't have to say anything to Queen. Now you're Roquan, you're coming in, and you know you're getting the call. You got to tell the back end, you got to tell the front end, and then you got to coach the guy next to you. So I think that was a little bit too much. And then when you put Kyle Hamilton in the back end, Kyle handled the back, and then Roquan, you got the front seven.
So Kyle Hamilton, Zach Orr, this big happy family, the defense on paper still needs some help, but they're not bad. They're pieces in place to be successful. Tag day was yesterday, 4 o'clock. Only two players were tagged. That was it. Two out of a bazillion.
And that's the least amount since 1994, Bob. Yeah. That was the first year to cap.
Yeah, I believe Eric Green, if memory serves, was one of those tag guys.
About a 300-pound tight end.
Yeah, but point is, a lot of Sam Darnold now becomes a free agent. Looks like J.J. McCarthy takes over there. You know, Higgins got tagged earlier in the weekend, but they're looking to maybe, I don't know, that's an interesting situation in Cincinnati. But Ravens didn't, and bottom line is we didn't expect any of that to happen anyway.
No, we didn't expect. And Bob, you know, I was reading some articles and stuff, and they were saying, well, the Ravens got to choose between Stanley and McCary. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, you want Stanley number one.
Choice is made, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I didn't hear old Eric DaCosta talking about Patrick McCary at the Combine. Terps tonight, take it on Michigan, Maryland at 1.5, Ann Arbor 6:30 tip. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan. Maryland right now number 13 in the country. Wolverines number 17. Maryland's still two games behind Michigan in the Big Ten pecking order. Michigan State number one, and Maryland wins. They move to within a game, and then Michigan goes to Michigan State, senior day there. So if they lose, and then Maryland beats Northwestern, who knows? Maryland could possibly finished second in the Big Ten a year after even making the NCAA.
If you flip that, let's just look at it the other way. If the Terps lose, where do they stand? And they went out.
They own tiebreakers over Wisconsin, UCLA, and others.
So they'd be three.
Yeah, there's still a very strong chance they're going to double buy it. But, you know, it would behoove them certainly to win their last couple of games. We'll talk to Damon Evans about that. Damon now part of the playoff committee.
College football committee.
NCAA. Yeah. So we'll talk to him about what's going on. We'll preview Maryland and Michigan with Walt Williams coming up at 12:30. Michigan turns the ball over a lot. Let's see if Maryland can speed the tempo up and force them into some uncomfortable situations. And the Terps, for a long, long time, couldn't win on the road. They suck with Kevin Willard against opposition in the conference away from Xfinity, and now Maryland's one of the hottest teams in the league away from their home venue. Orioles today taking on the Twins. Fort Myers, Grace Rodriguez gets the start. Orioles back at it. I'll give you the lineup when we come back, but needless to say, Grace Rodriguez, Nolan, his importance to this Orioles team, not just this year, but for the next few years, cannot be understated. He is potentially the most likely to be a number one starter as his career evolves, if he can stay healthy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games.
or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But Jordan Westberg likes to be, or should be, he said to the media, in the lineup tomorrow or the next day. No Gunnar Henderson yet. And we had Daniel Allen talk probably by the weekend, and his is more of a side thing. Orioles lineup, real quick. Jackson Holliday, second base. Allie Rutschman behind the plate. Moon Man, right field. Kerstad, left field. Laureano's in center. Rivera's at third. Mayo's at first. Carlson's the DH. Soto is your shortstop. And Grayson Rodriguez, he will start for the Orioles. Albert Suarez, Keegan Aiken, according to Rockabaco, they're on the trip as well. Nolan, as we head into the break, real quick, Grayson Rodriguez. Look, Eflin, you know what you're getting. Morton, you know what you're getting. But Rodriguez brings the high-level, dominant, number one starter stuff. And we've seen it in flashes. But, Nolan, if the Orioles are going to reach where they want to be this year and with the next couple of years as this young player window is wide open, he has got to hit the post 30 times a year and be an all-star, at least a strong number two, air quotes, starter here.
Right. Yeah, he's one of those players you would identify as the difference or a potential difference between this just being a playoff team again, which we feel pretty confident as their baseline for the roster talent they have. But can you take it to that next level? What is going to make this team a true World Series contender or a World Series favorite? That would be towards the top of my list, replacing what you had last year in Corbin Burns, that true ace role. And for Rodriguez, I think I said it maybe a couple weeks ago, I don't really have any concerns about him performing when he's out there. I mean, when he's on the mound, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be pitching at least close to that ace level. It's just a question of staying healthy, which unfortunately, through 2 years in the majors, has been easier said than done for him.
Let's not forget, he was going to come up in 2022, had the lat that pretty much ended his season. Did come up in 23, got rocked, went back to the minors, came back, and in the second half of the 23 season, where the Orioles won 101 games, he was had one of the five lowest earned run averages of baseball, along with Kyle Bradish and Corbin Burns, then with the Brewers. And then last year, another lat injury, which cost him basically the final 2 months of the season and obviously the postseason. I'm not saying he would have started over Eflin in game two against Kansas City, but if they would advance deeper into the playoffs, he wasn't going to be available. So he's got to be there for them as this season progresses, because he was the number one pitching prospect in baseball for 2 years. We've seen it. He was the parting gift from Dan Duquette's regime back in 2018. And even a lot of people say, well, Elias don't like them Duquette guys. He saw Grayson Rodriguez throws like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty badass. He's got to be a badass because Eflin's a free agent. Sugano's on a 1-year deal. I mean, he's kind of the dude. And I'd like for Wells and Bradish to make these Steve Austin $6 million man returns in August myself. I'm not holding my breath. I mean, Grayson's got to be the guy this year and possibly be your number one for the next couple of seasons before his price tag elevates, of course.
And he says he's changed something in his delivery to try to remedy that or prevent, you know, a breakdown in the lat or whatever was ailing him in the past. It must be so minuscule that nobody's really noticing it. I've heard some of the beat writers talking about it and writing about it, saying, hey, if he's made a change, can't really tell with the naked eye, but if he says he is and it thinks it'll actually help without having to sacrifice any velocity or anything that was working in his favor in the past, then so be it.
Well, that's being smart on his part. I mean, yeah, because you've heard it a couple of times, so something you're doing mechanically pulls my lat.
He's added a sweeper to his repertoire, too. So putting that arsenal into a multi-pitch mix. I mean, he's got to throw 100 miles an hour.
Good to have another off-speed because, he's one of those guys, one of those young guys in the league who has not had Tommy John yet, but he's among the hardest throwers who has not had it yet.
And as we creep closer, Nolan, we're, 3 weeks from tomorrow away from opening day at Toronto. Starting next week, we'll start getting into our individual player predictions. I said 15 wins and an all-star for Grayson Rodriguez. He wasn't going to make the all-star team. He didn't. But he won 13 and probably wouldn't have won that 15 if he wouldn't have got hurt and cost himself a couple of months. So stay tuned for that. Orioles are considered to be one of the best teams in the American League, whether you like it or not. And we'll enjoy it. 105, the game starts, and we'll keep you up to date on the score throughout the last hour of our show. Maryland, tonight on this station, taking on the Michigan Wolverines, two ranked teams in the Big Ten right now, number 2 and 3 in the standings, getting it on. Maryland trying to get, I don't say steal, just earn another road win. Then senior day coming up against Northwestern. Julian Reese, we'll talk about this with Walt at 12:30 rather. He's got an extra year of eligibility if he chooses to accept it. That's a big question because with Gillespie and Rice and Reese on board for next year, I mean, because Queen's leaving, Miguel's exhausted his eligibility. You get the point. You got a nice little nucleus. But first things first, it's Michigan. We'll talk about that and more. And how about the number one ranked Maryland men's lacrosse team? Damon Evans next here on the Fan. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome in athletic director for the Terps, Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good, fellas. I'm excited about the opportunity tonight in men's basketball, and we've got the women's basketball tournament coming up. We've got the double bye, so winning in lacrosse, some good things have happened for us as of late.
Now, before we get to all of that, which, as you said, is exciting, congratulations, first of all, Damon, on being named to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. What have 5 new members of it, along with Mark D'Antonio and Wesley Walls, among others. How did this all come about for you, and what are the responsibilities now in regards to this status?
At first, I should say thanks for the congratulations. This is an exciting opportunity, and as you might imagine, I'm honored to serve on this particular committee and be able to give back to a sport that has given so much to me as a former player and now as an athletics administrator. So this is a great opportunity. These things come about. I was fortunate that Rich Clark asked me to be a part of this, if I would be interested. And, of course, our commissioner, Tony Petitti, played a significant role as well. So when these opportunities come along, you take them. And I look forward to serving the committee and learning a lot more about how the process works.
Now, Damon, do you think you can get, like with the playoff system, get it where, it's not the first four get byes and, you guys will get all. Do you have the ability as the committee to change things up how they were last year?
You know, the playoff format in and of itself is determined by the management committee and the board of managers' decision. So it's not for the selection committee to decide the format. And I'm just looking forward to learning more about my role and of ranking teams and what I need to do to do a good job for the committee. But the management committee will make those decisions.
Hey, Damon, it seems like, the best football teams, pro, college, or really any sport, continuity is huge. And to me, that is the biggest thing that is lacking, in the football program, because there is so much turnover at all positions. I mean, we got the pictures of the new coaches, and it was like, a whole book of new coaches. Why so much turnover every year? Because then how do you get development if you're getting a new coach all the time?
Continuity is very key, and whether it's in coaching, whether it's in a business organization, whether it's in an athletic department, you like to have some continuity. But unfortunately, sometimes that is not the case. And what you have to do, you just have to adjust and adapt. Continuity across sports in general is changing because you don't even know what your team's going to look like from year to year now with the portal and what we want to call free agency and kids being able to leave every year. So you really don't know what your team is going to look like. And so you have to adjust to that just as well as you have to adjust to bring in the right staff. But my hope is that we can develop some more continuity in our staffing. But I like the decisions that Locks has made with regard to his coaching staff and the changes that need to be made, and we'll move forward accordingly.
Talking to Damon Evans, athletic director, University of Maryland. What's happening at College Park? AD joins us every Wednesday here on the Fan, Vinny and Haiti, Bob, Haiti, Vinny Serrato. All right, let's get to tonight's game. 6:30 tip. You can hear it on this radio station. Maryland coming off. Hey, look, hard-fought win. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't a shooting display by either team, and there was some drama with the officiating and clock management, whatever. But a win nonetheless. Roddy Rice would have been ice cold, hits the big dagger down the stretch. And then we had Kevin on yesterday, Damon, talking about, look, you lose it at the buzzer, 60-footer at home to Michigan State in a game that looked like Maryland was good as steel. But the wherewithal of this team, this a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, a lot of people had them trending on the bubble, maybe on the other side of it. Now we're talking about, can they get up to number 2 seed overall in the league? Can they get a 4 seed in March Madness? Your thoughts on how the team has evolved and how they're situated going into tonight's game against the Michigan team coming off a very disappointing loss Sunday at home to Illinois.
Well, I've said this on a number of occasions joining you guys. It's a long season. And when you're earlier in the season and you lose a few games, I know how we all are. It's a roller coaster ride. But the great thing is Kevin built this team the right way, and he made it in a fashion that would allow us to gain some momentum, some confidence. And as you started seeing as the season went on, we started getting better and better and better. And that's why I like where we are today. Even in the past few games, Michigan State, we didn't shoot the ball that well like we normally had, but we were still right there to win the game, and it took a 65-footer for us to lose that game. Then you go to Penn State, we still don't have our A game, but we're able to figure out a way to win there, which we hadn't done in a long time. But that shows you we have a lot of individuals in that starting five who can score. It shows you the resiliency of this team, and it shows you that Kevin has led this team in a manner in which they have built up a great deal of confidence. So I like where we are right now going into these last two games, as well as getting ready for the Big Ten tournament and then the NCAA tournament.
And Damon, you mentioned when we were talking about football here, the turnover continuity, when with the portal, whatever, you don't even know who's coming around. But Queen was a 5-star. Reese was a 4-star. I mean, these guys are highly regarded. Rodney Rice was a 4-star coming out of high school. Then he went to Virginia Tech. And then you get Jacoby Gillespie from Belmont. And Belmont, what's that, a horse race? And that was Secretariat won by 40 legs. But he comes in from Belmont, and he looks like he hasn't missed a beat playing in one of the top conferences in the NCAA. What does it say about, you know, evaluating talent, recognizing talent, to recognize a guy from Belmont comes in here and looks like he's Isaiah Thomas at times for the Terps?
We have to give Kevin credit. Willard did an exceptional job of going out and identifying players that would allow us to be where we are today. He went out and got Jacoby Gillespie, who every time he shoots the ball, it looks like it's going in. His ability to create off the dribble, his ability to get his other teammates involved. And then he goes out and gets a Rodney Rice that a lot of people were they weren't so sure about. And now we look and see what Rodney's doing. He was able to close the deal with Derek Queen in that roller coaster of a recruiting ride. He was able to get Juju to stay here, and then the addition of Selton Miguel. So he's really gone out and got some good pieces, and you've got to give credit where credit's due. But not only did he get good pieces, he got pieces that fit together well, and he's developed them and coached them up, and we're in an exciting position right now.
Damon, how about some of the other winter sports? I know wrestling, Big Ten tournaments getting ready to start, and then spring baseball. Anything else that you want to get into?
I got to get into women's basketball. You know, our women's basketball team is ranked 15th in the country. They earned a double bye in the Big Ten tournament with the number 4 seed. And I think what Brenda has done this year has been exceptional. We've had some injuries without, Bree is now not here. And then Sailor Poffenberger is not here, able to play for us. And to win those last two games against Indiana and then to come here and beat Ohio State on a buzzer beater by Tibiasu, which was just unbelievable. So to be able to get that double bye, and I'm hopeful that we can get in position to host first rounds here on campus. So I'm excited about what holds for our women's basketball team, who will play on Friday at 2:30 in Indianapolis. Other things going on, gentlemen, the number one lacrosse team in the country, taking on Notre Dame, a rematch of last year's national championship game. It's unbelievable that John Tillman, year in and year out, always has his team ready to compete at a high level. Huge win for us, and it's nice to be ranked number one. Lacrosse on the women's side is 3-1 and beat Denver this past weekend 14-10. And baseball is off to a 7-5 start. And softball beat St. Joe's yesterday 8-0. And so there's a lot happening around here, and we're just going to keep rolling with it.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, of course, it is Woman Crush Wednesday. What are we jamming to out the door here?
We're going to do Fight Song by Rachel Platten.
I don't know who she is. You keep dropping these George Foreman right hands with these song requests, man. I'm dazed.
I want to give you things you don't see coming.
Well,
you
know, I didn't see that one.
You know, you got that little emoji face where you put your hand over your lips and you're looking up because you're like, what is that?
I'm like putting a stake on my eye from that black eye you just gave. He's Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Damon, and congrats.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. There's Damon Evans, everyone. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset for you. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, we're going to start breaking down this Ravens draft class of 2024 as now the combine's over. Then the illegal tampering starts. But now we start getting into draft analysis. And how did Eric DaCosta do with last year's class? A lot of to-be-determines, I'm assuming here, as we start preparing you for our draft coverage. As a matter of fact, a week from today, March 12th, draft profiles begin.
Yeah.
We're 22 days away from the Orioles opening their season at Toronto against Tony Taters and the Blue Jays. And I was looking at a couple of guys real quick before we get to the phones. 410-583-1057, Bob Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Anthony Santander has only played in 3 games. And he tweeted out yesterday that the Tigers were actually his first choice. No so way. Now all the Blue Jay fans are mad at him. Corbin Burns is dealing. He's 2-0 in 3 games with a sub-2. Only 5-plus innings pitched. He did say the Orioles were aggressive in free agency. Did an interview with the Baltimore Sun. It was basically, like we've all known now, he wanted to go to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to them. They came aggressive, fair offer, and it is what it is. I mean, he was leaving the Orioles to fly to Arizona to be with his newborn kid. So he leaves. He loved his time in Baltimore, said the Orioles are going to be really good for the next few years because they have a lot of young talent. But Corbin Burns, like Manny dipped out or was traded away, said some half-assed complimentary things, but Corbin Burns was only here for a year, and he enjoyed his time immensely. At least that's what he said to the media, and who am I to disagree with him or call him a liar? And I'm not. And old Austin Hayes is raking for the Reds in spring training. So Hazy, he had a bunch of ailments, like kidney problems. He was ill, and you know, I've always been a Hayes fan, but he always had some sort of dilemma or ailment that kept him off the field. But Austin Hayes now in Cincinnati, where it's a, you know, hitter friendly park. We'll see how he responds. So Austin Hayes now with the Reds, among others, and James McCann still looking for a home. James McCann, 34 years old, 2 years in Baltimore, was well-respected, maybe the dude in the clubhouse. He's out there looking for employment. I'm guessing he'll find a spot.
What if the Orioles had an injury? You think they'd bring McCann back?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk to Jake Rill, Nolan. They like the defense. They like the leadership. But the 1-for-20 slumps or something they were kind of frowning upon. Where Sanchez brings you more offensive potential. And he's right. He will not catch as many games as McCann did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Safe bet.
Nor should he.
No.
He's pretty, for not very good behind the plate.
And we'll keep in mind, Sammy Basayo is coming up either this year or certainly.
That's the bigger factor.
By next year, yeah.
If there was an injury, depending on when it happens, I think Basayo would probably get the early nod before they bring in someone from the outside.
It's 58-80, 105.7 The Fan. So the Orioles take it on the Twins. Give you the lineup again. Terps tonight against Michigan. We just talked about that with Damon Evans. And, of course, the NFL. New league year is a week from today. Mm. The league year starts a week from today. Caps up a few million dollars. Only two players were tagged. However, yesterday, hey, look, Ronnie Stanley, and this is with all due respect, Ricky Bobby style to Ronnie Stanley. ESPN rated him as the number one free agent out there.
Yeah, and they had...
Ahead of like Darnold and others, of course.
Yeah, and they had ESPN, Graziano, he had like New England offering Ronnie like $25 million a year on a four for 100.
Wow.
And had the Ravens offering 3 for 60, so like 20 a year, which would still make Ronnie at $20 million a year, he'd still be one of the top 10 highest paid tackles in the league. Now, you know, if you're making 25 a year, he's second highest paid. But is it about the money or is it about winning games and being in a comfortable spot? Because you go up to New England, you know, you're going to get the crap beat out of you. Plus, it's not Lamar Jackson and it's not Derrick Henry.
Right.
And all of a sudden, people are going to say, "Now, Ronnie Stanley don't look as good, you know."
Yeah. And what would you think if those figures are accurate? And we're not saying that they are, but if you're Ronnie Stanley,
I don't know Ronnie
you're looking
good
at
enough. Bob,
scenarios here, it's like
you get an extra year, and you're getting $40 more million.
Yeah, that can be a deal maker.
Yes, it can.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Ivan in Baltimore. Ivan, thanks for holding. What's happening on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. You know, like you and a lot of other people in Maryland were pulling for the Terps to go deep into the NCAA tournament. But I've got two concerns. One is they've got some really talented players on the bench, but their lack of – and Kevin Willis knows this. He sees them in practice every day competing against the starters. And but their lack of productivity in the last month or so has been a real dilemma. I mean, we're getting nothing from the bench. The other thing is that they got five great starters, but you saw this in the Penn State game. If one or two of them are having a bad game, they're going to be in big trouble. So I'd like to hear what you guys have to think about that.
All right, Ivan, thank you. And yes, we want Maryland to go deep in the tournament. Haven't been in the Sweet 16 in 9 years, which is incredible. But they had a bunch of starters play like crap against Michigan State, too, and still almost found a way to win that game. But to your point, it seems as though since Kupari had the flu, since he's been back, he has not been the same. He's lost a bounce. He lost 15 pounds. Not saying that he was putting 10 on the board every night, but he was bringing energy. On occasion, he was banging some threes, was running the floor. Deshaun Harris-Smith, and only get in here for this one, this guy was a big-time recruit coming out of high school because he was a toolsy guy. I think we have seen in now 2 years at Maryland, he can't score, cannot shoot. I mean, he'll blind squirrel a three once in a blue moon, but he'll bring some energy. The aspect, Geronimo every now and again, he'll get himself into some sort of flow. But they've had three games in conference recently where they had zero from the bench.
Right.
I mean, and that's a fine line of either, all right, we got enough points from the offense, from the starters, or, oh, boy, we're in trouble.
Right. And I'll continue to ask people who call for more from the bench, where are you seeing this talent? Everyone says, oh, they got talent on the bench, but they're not using it. I don't see that talent. And it's not – we're not picking apart people here, but you mentioned Deshaun Harris-Smith. He's just one of a few there. These guys aren't as good as the starters. And the gap is pretty wide. I mean, obviously, your bench players are worse than your starters. That's the case for every team. But the gap here for Maryland is immense. I mean, we got, you know, Malachi Palmer playing minutes now, where early in the season, he wasn't even used at all. And most of these bench guys are shooting well below 40%. Harris Smith, who you talked about, he can't even hit his free throws. He's hitting 50% from the charity stripe. I mean, What are people seeing here? Because clearly I'm not watching the same games.
Yeah, and when Jay Young takes a jump shot, I cringe. Like, no. Right. No. Yeah, him and Harris Smith. Harris Smith, 38.4 from the field, 18% from three. And then Jay Young, 38.2. All right, 38%. But again, you know, not like he's Steph Curry throwing up 30 of them. a week. So to your point, now Gapari was hitting 50% from the field, basically. He would be the guy because he brings some length, because they have enough backcourt depth, I think, to withstand stuff. But, you know, if Reese or Queen gets in trouble, somebody's got to step in there, man. Mm-hmm. The Braden Pierce era is not ready to begin yet.
Right. And I'd lean more on Geronimo, because to me, he can be that guy. He can be that lightning rod. He understands his role. He's not going to get upset about, you know, being farther down in the rotation. I mean, you see him get fired up just off of a block. I mean, he doesn't even need to shoot to have a good night. If he gets a nice block, he's amped up for the whole team.
And keep in mind, he came from Indiana, so he's used to this, you know, big five level performances. But I'm going to quote The Rock, your new favorite wrestler, Nolan, as we head to the top of the hour. Know your role. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Ravens draft class 2024. First two picks, two starters. I think we're cool with that. Mm-hmm. Now we work on down the line. Where are other potential contributors? Whip around 11:15, and then we'll talk Orioles. Jake Real, MLB.com. Orioles taking on the Twinkies today in Fort Myers. Grayson Rodriguez on the hill.